Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com, and we're here to help pastors develop the ability to preach effective, life-transforming sermons. We've been talking for several podcasts about the subject of revival. We spent a good deal of time talking about what revival looks like in the church, what it would be like if Jesus were bodily present for an extended period of time. And today I'd like to turn our attention to both revival in the home or family and personal revival. But David, I wonder if we could also talk about revival in the workplace.
Okay, I was all set to talk about the others, but we'll do a right turn and cover the workplace.
Okay.
With what I have. One of the gentlemen I remember having the privilege of listening to was Elton Trueblood. Do you remember that name at all?
I remember that name.
He was a Quaker, and he said we should train ourselves to answer the question, "Where's your church?" with the reply, "It depends on when you ask," because an hour or so on Sunday morning it gathers in a building on such and such a street, but throughout the week the church teaches school, it operates a television camera, it fills cavities, and so on. The church can be found at the bank, at the grocery store, just about anywhere else. And in all these settings, we are to live such good lives among the pagans that they may see our good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, he's quoted. But anyway, revival in the workplace. One of the best pictures I have ever read about revival in the workplace is a fiction book. It's been one of the best sellers of all time, and I'm sure you've read it, Dean. It was written by Charles Sheldon back at the turn of the century, about 100 and some years ago, a little bit more than that now. It was called In His Steps.
Oh, yes.
And basically, he told his congregation, "I'm going to teach you how to ask in all different situations, to ask the question, what would Jesus do? And that's that thing that is still on bracelets and everything today. So that's an old, old book. And as you read it, you're still talking about horse and carriages and all the rest. But he talked about what it would be like if the workplace was touched by revival and there was a newspaper editor in there and an opera singer. You had various professions, and it's a very, very good story. In fact, a lot of times people, when they ask me, if I want to get a picture of what revival would look like, what book would you recommend? I say, read In His Steps, because that's really what that book is about. It's about living the Jesus life in not only the church, but also in your workplace. So the question would be, what would Jesus do in a given situation? And he poses problems with the newspaper editor writes stories about professional boxing. Now, that's almost a blasé question. Now, nobody's going to say, is boxing right or wrong? But back in that day, it was a controversial subject. Mm. And the newspaper editor back in those days said, "I choose not to put stories about boxing because I don't see this as a wholesome sport from a Christian perspective." Now you talk about ultimate fighting or whatever that people are into, you know. Well, that was an ethical question for a Christian back in those days. And making the decision the newspaper editor did caused all kind of problems. And eventually, as I recall the story, lost him his job. But sometimes being the Christian in the workplace is not going to be the popular thing to do. If you say, what would Jesus do? Jesus might do things that other people would not do, or fail to do things that other people would very comfortably do. So it's, again, taking the life of Christ into the workplace, and that's probably as good an answer as you're going to get to that question.
That's what revival would be like, taking Jesus with you as if he were bodily present with you in the workplace, and the effect that it would have on your behavior and the way that you relate to the other people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, let's move on to revival in the home and revival on a personal level.
Okay, revival in the home is like David and Karen saying, we're going to have as our house guest Jesus, the Son of God. And he will live in this room upstairs, and it's as real as that. So it affects everything you can think of. It affects what time you go to bed at night. It affects what time you get up in the morning. It affects how you spend your day, and so on. In fact, if you get into a heated discussion, it affects, you say, "Shh, no, Jesus is upstairs. Be quiet, lower your voice." All the funny situations.
Don't call me that name. Jesus will hear you. Okay.
Yeah, but you're living in a way that you think Jesus would enjoy being present. And I have to be very careful how I say this, because I don't want to say it so that it sounds like we're all that fantastic Christians, but numbers of times, I've had people, some Christians, some not Christians, say to me, you know, this is the most peaceful home mm-hmm. I've ever been a part of. And I say, well, part of that is the noise level is very low. We don't have a television set. We went for many, many years without one. I have a gentleman from Mexico who is living with us, and he wanted very much to be able to watch the World Cup, and we didn't have a television. And so I said, well, look, we'll get a television. You can watch it. So there is a television set now in the Maine's home in the basement for the first time in I don't know how long. But I think that television is neither good nor bad. There's very good on television. There's bad on television, and there's a lot in between. But the question is, how much time does the television take compared to other things that you could be doing? Mm-hmm. And would you be pleased with the amount of time you watch it, knowing that Jesus is a part of your house? Not even saying you watch things you shouldn't have watched, which you can do on television, but saying, you know what, tonight I chose not to watch television because I wanted to spend quality time with you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. It's the same awkward thing that you're working with, saying, Jesus, you sure do make contemporary living difficult. Part of the reason we don't see the movement of God in our land, I'm convinced, at least in my life, is because I spend more time in terms of professional sports and thinking about it than I do in other areas that are more important. So part of my discipline is to say, whether TV is good or bad, I chose to live without it because I found it a pattern that formed a habit that I just kind of turned it on when I walked into the house. And so I said, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I watch you. You're very picky what you watch. You choose certain things. I don't know whether Jesus would approve of how you watch TV or not, but you have to work that out yourself.
That's right.
I think one of the reasons we don't have the praying base that we used to have in this country is because a lot of the grandparents, that's my generation, are going to bed with David Letterman and Jay Leno and people like that, instead of going to bed talking to Jesus about the day, how it went, and how the next morning is going to go, and their desire to get up early and spend time with him. Now, that sounds very, very judgmental, doesn't it? It sounds very old-fashioned. And I don't tell people, for the most part, that I don't have a TV set, because as soon as I do, it sets up barriers.
Yeah,
you know, right. I just basically remain quiet about it, but between myself and the Lord, when Cirillo, our Mexican friend from Oaxaca in Mexico, when he leaves, I probably will say, okay, how many more months do we have on that television arrangement? And then let's get rid of it, because I enjoyed it more when I didn't have that. You know, I've followed the White Sox and watched more baseball since we got that television set than I had probably seen in the previous 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time. And so it's an element of time. Anyway, I sound very self-righteous, and I don't mean to sound that way.
No, but it's a good illustration because it's something very practical. And the reality is that whether it's a television set or what it is, there are things in our lives that come to become occupiers of our time. They become habitually ingrained into mm-hmm. our lives that we would be forced to rethink if Jesus were bodily present in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a very good thing. It's easy to become so assimilated into the culture that we forget that we are principally and foremost citizens of the kingdom of God. Yes, we're here in this world, and yes, we're a part of this world, and we're supposed to be the salt and light to the world, but principally we belong to Jesus. We're a part of his kingdom. And we don't have that impetus to keep us in the right perspective that we would have if Jesus were bodily present.
There are just so many distractions. That's one of the problems of this mm-hmm. culture. There are things that are crying for your attention all the time. And they may not be bad. You know, it could be decorating your house. My wife and I, we were given a gift by some friend the other day. It involved over $1,000. And he just did it as a friend, a gift. And he said, there are things in your home you're not taking care of. And I said, I don't have the money to take care of them. So he said, here's the money. And my wife, after a little while, she said, you know, it takes a lot of time just to try to make your home look like the way you want it to be. And she said, I found myself lacking in terms of my relationship to the Lord just because I'm so busy trying to take care of running things and making sure they're in a workable position and repairing. And I said, yeah, you know, welcome to where most people are. This is just a problem of life, is that we have so many demands on our time, and how do we sort all that out? It's very difficult. Having Jesus literally as a house guest, or if you have to put it physically as a house guest, would make a big difference, though, in the way a lot of people live.